So at this point, I'd like to introduce our next speaker. Caitlin McCulloch is an agricultural economist at the Livestock Marketing Information Center, and for the past 2 years has served as the dairy and forage specialist. She has written several articles and newsletters on a variety of dairy and forage industry topics. Caitlin has spoken at conferences throughout the United States. Caitlin received degrees in agricultural economics and agribusiness and resource management from Colorado State University and the University of Maine. Caitlin came to the LMIC to establish the dairy economist position. The LMIC began in 1995 and is a unique cooperative effort that supports market, education, research, and outlook. You saw throughout many of mine and Dr. Peel's slides that the source of that information came from the LMIC, and they provide an invaluable function through the livestock industry. So with that, Caitlin, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Shannon, and I'd like to welcome everyone and just say good afternoon, and we'll go ahead and get started. I'm going to start today by talking about some of the long-term trends in the dairy industry, the current situation that we're in right now, some dairy trade topics, some key drivers for moving forward, and then some of my outlook forecasts. So over the last 20 years or so, milk production has grown rapidly throughout the United States. We, on average, increase about 1% annually. However, as milk production has grown, the cow herd has decreased. You can see a sharply decreased decline from the 1980s through the 1990s, and then it's hovered around about 9.2 million cows since then. However, if you notice that line, we have bumped around a little bit and changed direction several times. The increase in production is largely due to a long-term increase in milk per cow. We see gains about 2% a year annually. This is due to largely just better continual genetics, and we expect this trend to continue. Moving into the current situation, I talked about how we kind of stayed around 9.2 million head, but it has been a little more volatile over the more recent years. You can see since January 2007, we increased 200,000 head, and then when the financial crisis hit, we lost at least that many, if not a few more. However, since 2010, we have gained over 100,000 head since the lowest point in the recession. The cows today are located generally in the U.S. However, as you can see by the map, they're pretty widely dispersed. The largest concentrations are indicated by the dark green figures on the map. And most of them are in the upper Midwest, but then also some heavy concentrations in California, New Mexico, and Texas. One of the more distinguished changes that we've seen in the dairy industry moving forward is the relationship between replacements and overall herd size. We were relatively stagnant in terms of proportion through the 1990s and at a fairly stable level. However, in mid-2000s, we can see that increase has changed rapidly. I'd like to think a lot of it has to do with the oncoming of commercially available sex semen, which has led to a faster way to grow the cow herd and the ability to get more replacements on hand. Milk production for this year has seen some early gains here in January, which was the most recent report. We get February's data here next Monday. January is 3.4% above a year ago. This is largely due to the mild winter that was seen throughout the U.S. February is also expected to be substantially above a year ago. Again, we saw moderate temperatures, but also we have a leap year this year, so we have one extra day of production. We have a similar story with milk per cow. Mild winter allowed for greater increases in production. January was 2.2% above a year ago, and overall the first quarter is expected to be 2.5% above last year's first quarter. Moving on to prices. With the increase in milk production, prices have started to fall. 2011 was last year's, is the red line, which is actually opposite of all the other graphs, so I apologize for that. But you can see that it was well above the average. January 2012 was 14% above 2011. However, February fell to 6% below. Component prices have declined relative to last year and have continued to show declines which would indicate that low milk prices are likely to continue. Some of the other presentations touched on feed costs. I think Shannon had this graphic in his presentation as well. It may not be the most accurate indication of profitability, but it does have a good relative perspective on past and current trends, which actually captures the all milk price from the previous graph and the cost of corn, soybeans, and alfalfa. We can see that 2011 was below the 5-year average, and that 2012 has started out well below that. If you remember from the previous graph, 2011 did have record high milk prices, so you can see those feed costs have really had an impact on dairy profitability. With the decline in the all milk price in the first half of the year, we see that profitability even shrink even further. Aside from input and output costs, dairy supply and demand also has a new factor that involves international trade. Dairy has become a global marketplace. International trade now plays a major role in the effects of demand and supply. However, it's a difficult market to capture because of its complexity. We see different products using different components of milk, but also different cultures using those components differently. Now, in the past, dairy has been a residual supplier, exporting largely domestically demanded goods overseas when we had extra. However, now we're starting to produce goods based on the tastes and preferences of overseas consumers, and we're becoming less and less of a residual supplier. However, now we also need to think about our competitors in the global marketplace, which are largely grazing-based systems, and these contribute to large supply swings that can affect our domestic market prices. Just to see where export values have gone, you can see we've sharply increased over the last 5 years. Overall trade grew last year alone by 32%, the largest growth being in the powders, which actually doubled in 2010 and grew by 25% last year alone. This is largely due to expansion in Asian markets. And just to talk about some of our trade destinations, overall, most of our dairy products stay in North America, Canada, and Mexico buy a large amount of our goods. But I broke these out in terms of the top destinations, first and second, for most products. And for the most part, quantity and value are relatively the same. However, for products like buttermilk, Mexico, for example, has the highest value by destination, and the Dominican Republic actually imports the most by quantity. And just of note, also, butter, Saudi Arabia imports the most in quantity and value. However, the second top destination is different depending on what products are going where. Because exports have become so strong, the U.S. has become a net exporter of total dairy products, indicated by the solid light blue line. We net export live cattle, whey, butter, and powders, and are still a net importer of largely the other categories. However, perhaps even more notable are some of the categories that we're not a net exporter of. Cheese has actually seen some tremendous growth, despite us actually importing more than we normally export. In 2011, almost every single month was at least 50% above the 5-year average, and imports have consistently gotten smaller and have been below the 5-year average. You can see that 2012 has started where 2011 has left off and shows promise for high volumes again this year. Some of the key drivers moving forward, as Daryl talked about, some of the cow prices, whether that will continue to encourage high herd turnover rates and liquidate the herd, the strength of the overall economy, both here and internationally, some of our exports, both in terms of consumer demand and our competition with others. I'll touch on each of those. Cull cow prices have been so favorable that we have increased our herd turnover, but as the replacement graph showed, we have more than enough heifers in the pipeline to replace those, and it hasn't affected the overall total herd size. Dairy cow slaughter has been above the 5-year average for quite some time, and in the most recent weeks, we've seen a lot more cattle coming out of the southern plains than some of the other areas. However, again, that hasn't affected the overall herd size yet. Just some general economy comments. Domestic recovery has been promising. However, it's been slow. We haven't exceeded 1% growth yet. Unemployment, however, is down, which should help improve domestic demand for dairy products, particularly some higher value products that suffered during the recession. Internationally, will again depend on competitive suppliers and how their grazing season has gone. Because they're a grazing-based system, they're highly weather-dependent. However, early this year, both domestic and Oceania product prices have declined, which would provide some indication that strong supplies exist both overseas and here. Here are some of my forecasts. Globally, the bounce back from the recession has been slow, and as a result, the growth in milk production will ultimately lead to lower milk prices and a decline in the cow herd, as demand hasn't quite caught up with the supply that has rebounded since the recession. However, the timing of this decline will likely is a little unclear, however, because it will depend on when these demand and supply forces eventually match up. Incentives to cull cows will certainly help. Feed costs will definitely be a factor on how many cows you can support, given where the milk price is, have milk price declining until we have a small enough reduction in the cow herd to kind of help stabilize prices. But overall, we should see a decline in the cow herd. I have a fairly aggressive decline in the next 2 years, and we'll see how much that really balances out and how long it will take. And with that, I'll take any questions.
Great, Caitlin. Thank you very much. That's, again, very interesting on the dairy industry conditions and outlook. One of the questions coming across is, do you see any future impact on supply control programs such as the Dairy Market Stabilization Program, and what policies, supply control policies may be put into place or are being discussed now?
I don't spend a whole lot of time on policy questions. Some of the more optional insurance programs are largely dependent on how many people participate, but they are insurance programs in the sense that they're not meant for every year. They're meant for particularly bad years. The Dairy Security Act has obviously strategies, whether it's supply management or margin protection. My forecasts are based on how things are right now and not necessarily what the Farm Bill will be. It's my understanding that LGM Dairy is still in its pilot program. I think last year was the first year, and they got new money to try it again.
Okay, great. Do you see any future shifts in the dairy production regions, and what might be any primary factors that would prevent or cause shifts to or away from the regions that we're seeing that are being produced in now?
Obviously, the grain prices will probably have in our western dairies. However, it would be difficult for them to transfer into a grazing-based system. We are seeing more intensive grazing operations being tried in the northeast and some of the mid-Atlantic states. Whether that's a long-term trend, I think will eventually depend on margins play out. But I don't think, like, for instance, Colorado continues to be adding cows. We've seen Texas add cows. If you look back to that map, I know I didn't show the change, but so far we've seen increases in the states where the concentration already exists. So we even had seen that a huge pullback despite high input costs.
Okay. Do you know if there's any large dairy processing plants, such as cheese plants, coming online, and what impact those future expansions might have on the dairy sector?
There's a new cheese plant opening here in Colorado in Greeley. I think there's a yogurt plant that's opened in Salt Lake City. There's a Greek yogurt factory that's coming online out in Idaho. Those are the three that come to mind. I believe the Greek yogurt plant and the cheese plant are not fully operational. I'm not so sure about the Salt Lake City one. Largely depends on if you're in a marketing order or not. For instance, the Greeley one is in the central order. That won't have a huge impact on individuals' prices because it gets lumped together with all the other class prices. So the actual change in milk price based on the reallocation of where the milk goes is a difficult thing to measure. It should change the structure of how that is, but I'm not sure how much of a price impact that'll really have relative to farmers. In Idaho, they're not in a federal milk marketing order structure, so I'm not sure if those are direct contracts with co-ops or how that necessarily works, but I would say they would probably have a larger impact on prices than